when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church over here on the west side of Manchester. We want to greet every one of you in the precious name of the Lord and remind you that we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. We want to get into the teaching and ministering of God's Word today. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And now we will go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light. If you have your Bibles, amen. Jude, does everybody have it this morning? Verse 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23, I think is where we'll go. But, beloved, remember the words which were spoken, verse 17, before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, somebody say you, speaking to us now, the church, you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This being our Missionary Sunday, I want to help somebody to understand the purpose of the church. It was always the plan of God to have a people. When Christ ascended into heaven, he had commanded the disciples to go and to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. They came and gathered in that upper room. We've preached on it before many times. They went and gathered, and there was a very large number. There's many different numbers that I've heard, but there was upwards of possibly 1,000, even more. That doesn't really matter necessarily the number, but it came down after, I believe, 10 days after they obeyed the command of the Lord to go to Jerusalem. They went into that upper room. After 10 days, it narrowed down to about 120, and they were waiting for the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. He was speaking of the Holy Ghost. What was the purpose? He says, I'm going to leave you, but the one that I'm going to send to you, amen, the one that is coming will not only abide with you, but he will be in you, amen. And this is the mystery that Paul spoke of from the beginning, that God in his vast power, omnipotence, omnipresence, that this all-knowing, all-present God that is everywhere could come down and live right down inside of his creation. This is the mystery, amen, that is unfolded through a lot of the writings of Paul the Apostle, where he begins to describe it as Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. But this Holy Ghost that was brought down from heaven, the Bible says they were in that upper room. There was 120. They were waiting and waiting. You know, 10 days is a long time to wait. And as people left and looking at their watches, they had to go. Amen. Can I tell you today, that's what restrains a lot of us from receiving from God. We're too much in a hurry. Amen. We get too much on a fixed schedule. Don't get me wrong. There's a place and a time to have a schedule, but schedules can really mess you up if you're going to be on God's timetable. It's a whole nother schedule. Amen. So they're here waiting for 10 days. They're praying. They're seeking God. And the Bible says all to once on that day of Pentecost, there was a timetable where God knew he was going to send his power down to the earth. Amen. They heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They were like cloven tongues of fire, the presence of God coming down upon that 120, and they all begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. What was the purpose of the sound from heaven? What was this? This was a description of what they heard coming out of heaven, the presence and the promise of the Father. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send one as of a rushing mighty wind. He's going to come down inside of you, and what's going to be birthed inside of you, though I have left you, I will now be with you. He said in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come up on you. And then he went on to say, and you shall be witnesses, amen, here in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all, listen to me, and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So what we've got to understand that this Holy Ghost gives us the power as God's people to be witnesses for him. Hallelujah. You ain't hearing me. There's little emphasis put on this today. We put so little emphasis, amen, on what we need to be equipped with, more than money, more than a car to go out and reach the lost, more than I need an airplane to go, amen. We need men and women that have been endowed from heaven with the power of the Spirit of God. He said, you wait, don't you go into that world and be a witness until you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is what transforms a man and a woman into being able to live in a capacity that they did not be able to live. There's many, amen, churches that put very little emphasis on the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm here to tell you, without this power, without this Holy Ghost, you know, Jesus said, you're not even qualified to go out and to preach this gospel. You're going to be fighting devils. You're going to be fighting. Oh, listen to me now. Amen. The devil knows them that are God's. Amen. They have this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everybody that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We are a people that have the presence of God with us. But that presence and the power of the Holy Ghost that was given to that first church in that upper room and birthed them, it was designed to give them the supernatural power of God to be witnesses to this lost and dying world. Can you say amen? Let's read it together. Verse 22. And of some, let's read it all in unison. And have compassion, making a difference. He was dealing in Jude about the last times, that there would be a great level of sin and debauchery and deception upon the face of the earth. How many believe we're living in the last days today? Can you say amen? And in this last day hour, he said there's going to be mockers. There's going to be those that will mock the things of God. Those, oh, listen to me. You don't have to go very far to turn on a radio Listen to me now. We've got a generation that thinks that they can do it without God. We're smart enough. We've got enough money. We've got enough intelligence. Amen. We don't need God. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot being promoted within our media trying to brainwash a generation to hate God and to say that God that they talk about in the Bible is a God that restrains you. He doesn't let you do what you want, and it goes totally contrary to what they want. Listen to me now, brothers and sisters. The brainwashing of today is that, amen, they're going to mock God. They're going to disrespect God. Can I tell you, when God begins to get ready to bring judgment upon a nation, and I begin to ask God, what is it? What level? Where you finally say it's enough, just like in Noah's day, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Noah looked like an idiot saying it was going to rain. And for 100 years, he built an ark. And I tell you, but after that 100 years, he wasn't the idiot. Raindrops started to fall down from heaven. He said, judgment is coming. But for over 100 years, he looked like an idiot. And many of them were saying, what are you talking about? Oh, it's going to rain. It's never rained before. But he's not crazy no more. I'm telling you, judgment is coming. Jesus is coming back. And we've got to get ready in this day and hour that we're living. What is the most important thing to me right now as I get older? And I realize that, amen, some of you are much older than me, but I don't know, me being at almost 44 now, and you say, oh, well, you're a baby, or you're this or that, that's fine. Can I tell you this, though? For 20 years, I've been preaching the gospel. I'm getting ready to take almost my 50th trip down, amen, to Mexico, and I've got many invitations, but I feel, amen, I have done so little for God. I have felt like, God forbid, that we as a church, amen, would lose our burden for the lost. And I begin to see God begin to put a shift in my spirit and say, yes, I've called you to Mexico. I've called you to Africa. I've called you abroad. Amen. But I still got a work here in Manchester that needs to be done. And I've got to raise up some men. I'm going to begin to put a burden in their spirit to begin to have a burden for the lost, begin to have a burden for the drug addict. We're living in a day and an hour, brothers and sisters, where iniquity is abounding and the love of many are waxing cold. We are living in a time where people are too busy for God. Amen. And can I tell you, it was told to us 2 weeks ago, the Holy Ghost spoke, and amen, a message came forth that God is going to require more from us as a church. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, we are going to be required much more, because to whom much is given, much will be required. I can tell you this, if you read about the ministry of Christ, he was nonstop. Very few times did he ever slow down. You listen to me, brothers and sisters. This is the ministry of Christ. And I want you to please stay with me right here. I believe this message would be life-changing, and we can look back on this morning's message as God begins to add to the church weekly. And that's what God, I want to see God do, is every week I want to put something in your spirit. We should be bringing somebody in that needs to hear the gospel. I would love to see somebody get saved every week. Hallelujah. This is what we've lost in many of our hearts, because we're consumed with our schedules. We're consumed with ourselves. We spend 5 hours on the internet. We spend hours on Facebook and playing games on the computer. Some of you spend hours watching movies. I'm going to go ahead and plow right through here for a little while. We'll spend 3 hours eating and laughing and eating ice cream at a restaurant. We'll go to the mall for an hour and a half and 2 hours. We'll watch a football game, a basketball game. But brothers and sisters, how much time have we spent going out into this community, oh, preaching this gospel and reaching the lost? But the fact is, oh, we are not making the difference that we could make. Not altogether because we don't want to. It's just that we are consumed with the cares of this life. See, I don't believe altogether that when Christ made that statement that the laborers are few, I think they weren't altogether people that just wanted to lay around and just sleep all. I think they were caught up in their own ways of life. They had no time for others. Because this generation has put it in the hearts of people, amen, to think about yourself. Minister to yourself. Can I tell you, the life of Christianity is not thinking about yourself. Living your best life now. And it's all about me and my family and my business and what I want to do. It's not about that. The life of Christ and being a disciple and being a witness for Christ is a life of self-denial. Paul said it this way, I've come to you and I've suffered. I've been beaten. I've been tortured. I have been, listen to me, forsaken by others, but I have not come to please myself. I have not come to do this because it makes me feel good. I am under a mandate given by the Lord Jesus Christ. I met him on the road to Damascus. He told me that I will suffer many things to reach the lost, to spread this gospel among the Gentiles. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes when we've got to go through the pain and the suffering to do the will of God, but it will be worth it all to see souls saved. I said it will be worth it all to see the souls saved. Can you say amen? The purpose of Christ's coming is to seek and to save that which is lost. Your lack of motivation, zeal, your energy level cannot be manufactured within yourself. This has to be a burden. This has to be a burden. Jesus went about all the cities and the villages in Matthew 9 and 35, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Are you listening to me? Jesus' ministry was amongst the people. Somebody say, we've got to get amongst them. Jesus went amongst the people. Are you with me? Healing every sickness, every disease amongst the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion. Compassion is what will move you to reach the lost. I watched a woman this morning in the rain. She had 6 bags. I counted them. 5 or 6. I couldn't see all of them. On her back, she was stumbling to walk down the road. Amen. She didn't look intoxicated. She didn't look like a drug addict. She looked homeless. Amen. She looked like everything was right on her back, trouncing down this road right here. I don't know where she was going. And all to once a spirit, came upon me, and I said, Lord, what is that? As I began to pity her and say, look at her. She's like a vagabond walking here and there, nowhere to go home and lay her head on a warm bed. Nowhere to go and, amen, be around family and loved ones. Don't have nowhere to go. Amen. But brothers and sisters, some of us, we can go home and kick our feet up on our lazy boy. We can go home and lay down on a warm couch. Amen. Turn on the television and sit there and drink hot cocoa. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's some that are in this city, amen, with bags all strapped on them and raincoats. Amen. And they have nowhere to go. Are you listening? Compassion rose up in my heart. The Lord says, that's what I want you to focus on this morning, is tell this church that they've got to get more compassion for their fellow man. Compassion instead of judging where they're at. Why are you living under this bridge? Why are you walking these streets? Why are you doing these drugs? Why are you buying dope? Why are you buying crack cocaine? Why are you selling your body? Why are you out here? Listen to me, they don't need to hear that. What they need to hear is somebody bring some hope to them. They already are lost and undone, and they need someone to bring them some hope with a testimony of, look, I could be in your place. I could be that drunkard. I could be that one wandering around, lost and has nowhere to go, but Jesus came into my life. I wish I could get a little help right here. This is the ministry of Christ, getting amongst the people and giving hope to the hopeless. Here's some word here. And when he saw, somebody said he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. When you see the needs of fellow man, something should move you. Compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous. Plenty of lost people, plenty of people hungry, plenty of people that need a Savior, but the laborers are few. Amen. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. The work of the ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. It means sacrifice. It means getting up early in the morning. It means praying when you don't feel like praying. Fasting when you don't feel like fasting. Taking your time and your pleasure of wanting to sit around and do what caters to your flesh and what makes you feel good, instead of taking a Saturday afternoon and going to the mall. Guess what? I'm going to get a little pack together and I'm going to make it for somebody that's in need. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in my spirit, in my heart, that I know some of you could do, but I'm telling you, we've got to get in a place where we have compassion for the lost. Can you say amen? Passion and mercy go together. Some have compassion. The compassionate will make a difference. The heartbeat of God is evangelism. The heartthrob of God, if you were to hear the heart of God like I hear him as a pastor, and I begin to pray throughout this week, the heartthrob of God, amen, as he puts it in my spirit, is more than just a feeling of let's go out and hand out a few tracts and invite people to church. The heartthrob of God is evangelism. It goes beyond, amen. It means reaching them with whatever they need. Yes, they need the gospel, but the gospel is not always seen through preaching to them. It is seen through loving them, giving the hungry food, giving the naked clothes, giving them something. This is the gospel. It's done more than just with preaching a scripture to them and handing them a Bible. They want to see it before they will believe it. Can you say amen? Evangelism is God's heartthrob. He commanded them in Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, go you into the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Somebody say everybody. And Jesus says, listen to me. Let me show you what true love is. I needs must go by the way of Samaria. I've got to go and meet a woman sitting on the edge of a well. I've got to go into that place where nobody else wants to go. I've got to go to that one that nobody wants to bring hope to. There was a woman that went daily to a well. And what did Jesus do? He says, I've got a specific place I'm going to go. Amen. I got a specific person I'm going to minister to. When I think about our Lord Jesus Christ here on the earth, he could preach to the masses of 15, 20,000. He could go into the synagogues and pack the house out. But then he had the compassion of going to one person on the sitting on the side of a well. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I've just been invited to a church up in Maine. They haven't had a pastor for years, and they said, oh, would you be willing to come? We've only got 5 or 6 people. I said, that makes no difference to me. I said, you don't know the church that I pastored. When we came here, we only had 5 or 6 people, but I'm going to tell you, look what the Lord has done. I said, there is a church, amen, that Jesus is wanting us, amen. Oh, listen to me. We need to be used in a greater capacity than what we're doing right now. Can you say amen? We're all called to be evangelists in some form of capacity. You might not have the title of an evangelist, but an evangelist is simply one that is sent to bring good news. An evangelist is simply one that is called to have compassion and mercy and bring the hope to the hopeless. We are all called to be evangelists in some form or capacity. Evangelism is the heart of God. And Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel, the only hope for our nation and for our families and for the people, and especially the sinner, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jude said, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. And This is where many are at. Amen. The disciples, doesn't he know what type of woman this is at the well? Doesn't he know she's a Samaritan? I mean, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, some of the most ugliest people are religious people that look down their nose upon someone that is less fortunate, that doesn't have the same education. I'm telling you, we've got prejudice right in the church. We've got people. Oh, listen to me. I'm going to tell you right here. Some of you are pressing back in your spirit. But I'm telling you right here, we cannot, brothers and sisters, delegate who we're going to preach to and who we're not going to preach to. Hereby perceive we the love of God. 1 John 3:16. I'm closing with this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Laying down your lives means saying, hey, I'm going to take 3, 4, 5 hours on a Saturday. I'm not going to do what I'm going to lay down my plans, my schedule, my life, and put aside what I want to do. And I'm going to go reach the lost. I'm tired too. I'm weary too. We all have a full schedule. But I think we can do more. Can you say amen? As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and we want to invite any of you that would like to come out and visit us here on the west side of Manchester. We're at 417 Granite Street. And that is in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the west side. We're a multicultural church over here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would like to invite you to come out and visit us. We start our Sunday services at 11 o'clock. And we also have our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. You can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. Find out all the information in regards to our ministry here in Manchester. And also our missions work and our different outreaches. We want to invite you once again to go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. We want to remind you that we also have a Facebook. We'd like to invite you to look us up on the Facebook, The Abiding Light Church. Also, you can follow us on Instagram. So we would encourage that. And also, just want to let you know, if you can't make it out to a service, you can go to our website, and we are live streaming our services at 12 o'clock on Sunday and also Wednesday at 7:30. So if you can't make it out to church, that's okay. Go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com and scroll down to the Mixler live stream tab, and you can go into a service and listen to us live on the live stream. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.